Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, a couple of, best friends and Clippers credentialed media guys who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Absolutely.
We're part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Couldn't be prouder to be a part of a network.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the network.
It's a good time. Anyways, today in Clippers news, there was some more media availability. This one was actually kind of a surprise to me. I didn't know that this one was coming.
Yeah, I was a little groggy for this one.
We had an early morning presser this morning. There was some availability from Pat Bev, as well as Nick Batum's first appearance as a Clipper, and some more stuff from Ty Lue. So you'll want to stick around to hear what we thought about that, find out who said what. And then it's Monday. We got the freshies for you. Basically, we're going to be talking some more about these new guys, what successful seasons for all these guys could look like, and the possibility of a Batum redemption season. You know I'm on board for this. And then in shavings, we're just going to be kind of wrapping up all the loose ends floating around the Clippers and the NBA in general. So stick around for all of that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to the first practice presser recap. Pat Bev spoke to the media, and I think it's fair to say that Pat Bev was already in midseason form. Tomer Azerly asked a great question about like leadership during last year, and Pat Bev cut him off mid-sentence to be like, I didn't really think there was a leadership issue. It was just like an execution issue. But he echoed something that a lot of people have talked about is kind of like the Clippers being pissed off. His quote was, "Everyone's kind of pissed off," was the mindset going into the season. And up to this point, I feel like we've heard all the right things from the Clippers players, right?
Yeah, I mean, got to agree. Part of it is I like to hear it. I'm more excited to see how it actually manifests on the court. Because it's one thing to talk the talk or say that you're mad about it and everybody's pissed off about it. But let's see it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Said the frustration of losing the 3-1 lead hasn't gone away. Kind of like PG's comments. Said the Clippers want their lick back. One thing that I like about this is that I think what's helping the team right now is there's no weird advertising happening. There's no weird billboards. There's no like, we're not getting pummeled with a lot of stuff like that that has that kind of vibe that we had last year.
Definitely. And I think some of that though, is not just the internal things, you know, like the internal billboards and advertising, like the approach to the Clippers and the way they're being covered, especially from national media, is a lot different than what it was last year. You look at the number of nationally televised games and the Pelicans have more than us.
Dude, that's so insane. Why do the Pels have so many damn games?
So it's one of those things where I do think that helps, you know, maybe not hyping it up so much. And, you know, you don't have the big New Balance campaigns because, you know, that thing's kind of been going already for a while now. So it doesn't have to be on the same level. But I think the even bigger thing is just the way that the media has kind of shifted on the Clippers.
Yeah, they hate us. Everybody hates the Clippers, which is a good time. Pat Bev was asked about Trez going to the Lakers. They asked if he was surprised, and he just gave a very funny yeah and then chuckled, which was a good time. So that was fun. That's all he had to say about that, really, which I was kind of happy about. But yeah, then Nick Batum was up, his first appearance for the Clips, which was good to see. He talked about how Kawhi is dangerous in a revenge year. And he said what happened with the Spurs in 2013, he came back and won MVP of finals in the ring. What happened to him in 2018 with injuries, stuff like that in San Antonio, he came back in Toronto and won. Proved it twice, so maybe again this year. Dude, Batum seems fully locked in.
Love this.
He seems ready to go.
He talked a little bit about their time playing each other. And he said, Kawhi is one of those guys who somehow, after already being really good, continually gets better every year. And I think if the new hairstyle and the physique changes are any indication, I think Kawhi, Kawhi is taking this personally and he is very much ready to get to work this season.
Yes. Batum also, it was cool to kind of ask him about last year being such a rough year for him. And he knows it didn't go his way, but he's ready to help the Clippers. He said he stayed focused, which is what had him get all these calls from contenders and stuff like that in the offseason. And he just rattled off things that he had to do, which was great.
Yeah. He also talked about how, you know, part of that, it was, and it wasn't him passing the buck or anything, but he was talking about how, you know, the organization was looking to go in a different direction. And he didn't really fit in with that plan. So obviously, you know, injuries and stuff, you know, didn't help him, you know, maybe be a part of that long-term plan.
For sure.
But I think that there are other factors, and that's why, you know, we'll talk about it in the next segment, but I do really think that Nick Batum is poised to make a winning contribution to this team what could be a fairly substantial way. We'll see.
Yeah. He seems pretty excited. You know, I like that the smoothness is going to be back. They've had multiple players talk about how, like, I think it was Marcus Morris who said, "Oh, we got a smooth guy now." In terms of his game, like the weight loss you love to hear about, which is good. It seems like he's in a good place physically. He also talked about how he's excited to match up against Kawhi in practice. So, like, it's great that Batum has to match up against Kawhi in runs to get ready for this season.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, these are guys that have, play the same position. So they have, you know, both defended and played against each other on both ends of the floor. So, you know, you love to hear that. And I think that, you know, that's one of those things that I tend to overlook too, even.
For sure.
You know, we think about the bench as only being like the in-game stuff. But I think when you have guys like this that want to elevate your star players and challenge them to another level in a practice, you know, that just brings a whole other level of readiness to a team. I think that that's the kind of thing that builds chemistry as well. Bringing challenges to your teammates.
And actually having practices, which is such a fun thing now too. That's such a good time for the Clippers. Ty Lue came out. He brought up something that we kind of talked about when we were talking about Patrick Bev maybe, not being in the starting lineup at some times. They asked him kind of like about, you know, I think someone asked him about like what it's like coming into the season or whatever. And he said that the good thing is that everyone's at a blank slate since it's a new system with new coaches. So like there's no like familiarity you have to make up on, which is kind of like not a bonus, but it's kind of what we were talking about before, where whoever's playing the best, probably at that point guard position, I feel like there's a chance it's probably going to be who's starting.
Yeah, for sure. I think something that was interesting is that Ty Lue kept stressing the newness of this system, which I do think is kind of a breath of fresh air. You know, if you were one of the people who wondered how different could this possibly be after, you know, he was on the bench during the Doc Rivers collapse. And, you know,
about some of Doc's comments about that coming up next.
Yeah. if there was any worries in your mind that, you know, he would just keep things going business as usual, I believe that that's not going to be the case. He also talked about how in getting players ready, he's listening mostly to the sports science guys.
Yeah.
They're basically dictating, you know, how the, you know, what players can manage as far as, you know, usage and quote unquote load, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to call it that, but I think that that's really refreshing to hear too, especially because there, you know, there have been some comments that, you know, maybe some of the analytics people, maybe some of the people within the organization that were trying to run things up the ladder to Doc, that those things were not being taken into account.
Yes, it was refreshing. A lot of the stuff he said is kind of refreshing. He also commented he really wants the team to hang its hat on defense, but not in kind
of... We've heard before,
but now I guess I believe it more. I'm not entirely sure why. Maybe because it is such a blank slate, but that's a good point that we have heard this before. But I think, you know, after what happened against Denver, it seems like guys truly are just ready to make, like, put that behind them. And that starts on defense. We got killed in post defense for the most part in that series. So, like, that's going to be such a nice thing that hopefully this team actually does, you know, lock down in that regard.
For sure. For sure.
Coming up, we're going to be talking Doc Rivers' comments about PG's comments that kind of had some weird shade towards Ty Lue in them, which I didn't really like, as well as what the new guys can do to, you know, kind of have a good year on the freshies. But first, got to give a shout out to Built Bar. Built Bar, there's a new improved flavors. There's six new flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp to go with their already delicious coconut, almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, and a multitude of other delicious flavors. Built Bars are healthy. They are great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. I like the peanut butter ones. It's 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. It's fantastic. Right now, you can go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com.
Okay, so we're back and it's Monday, so we're talking the freshies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the new guys, the fresh guys on the squad, as well as just whatever is fresh out there in the Clipper sphere. So where do you want to kick us off, Chuck? What's fresh? What's fresh today?
Well, there was a big thing happening on Twitter. And as you know, if you listen to the show, tomorrow will be Twitter Tuesday. So send your questions to @LockedOnClips. Let's start with these Doc River on the PG comments, right?
Let's do it. Yeah.
So Doc was asked about it across the pond over in Philadelphia. and he said, "Hey, listen, I enjoyed coaching him. So not a lot to say there. Ty Lue was sitting right next to me, so we better hope it's not adjustments. It ain't going to be much different. Listen, we lost the game, and I think everybody needs to take ownership. Obviously, we can always do better. Players can play better. As far as I'm concerned, I'll leave it there." This feels like weird shots at Ty Lue.
Yeah, definitely. And just for context, for any listeners that were unaware, this is in reference to Paul George's comments on the All the Smoke podcast, where basically he said that he wasn't happy with his usage rate. He was kind of being used in a more off-ball shooter role that he was less comfortable with, and also that there were no clarity on the adjustments that needed to be made in the playoffs.
And Paul George is right. I'm part of that for sure. But like this Ty Lue was sitting right next to me thing is so annoying to me, because one of the, like Eric Hitoshi pointed out on Twitter, that wasn't there a rumor that Doc was ignoring assistants asking him to bench Trez? Like, this isn't like, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels unnecessary. Like, there's going to be adjustments.
The thing is like, we bring up the Trez thing. It was just one of those things that was so apparent every time it was on the floor. I gotta be honest, man. I outright do not believe that another assistant didn't tell Doc that Trez needed to be playing less minutes, or that matchup wasn't working. And maybe there were other factors, like guys, you know, didn't have the cardio or whatever to fill in for those minutes, which that could be the case. I 100% doubt that an assistant did not bring up that situation, because it was so obvious to the eye. Like, you don't even have to be a deep stats person.
No. Like, and it's not clear. Even deep stats. It's just net rating. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
In games 5 through 7, when Trez and Jokic are on the floor together, the Clippers were minus 60 in net rating.
Yeah.
The combined minutes. Like, that's not even that deep of a stat. Like, you just, and like eye test, it was just horrible.
Justin Russo at Fly By Night, fabulous Clippers follow on Twitter, pointed out that in games 5 through 7, Jokic attempted 14 field goal attempts in which Trez was the primary defender. He made 10 of them.
Pretty good percentage. pretty good percentage. And like, the part where it's like, it ain't going to be much different. It's like, well, it is going to be different because Trez is no longer here. Like, it's just annoying.
I don't know. And maybe these are comments to save face, or I don't know. Also, what is he going to say? He's going to be like, yeah, I fucked that up.
Yeah, I really messed that whole thing up. I'll tell you what.
Ty Lue will definitely make all those adjustments. So, it is what it is. I don't personally, I guess this is a little bit of a shot at Ty Lue. I don't know if he fully meant it that way. I fail to believe that other people on the bench were not bringing this to his attention. And I think that he chose to ignore it.
Yeah, especially Ty Lue, the guy who makes in-game adjustments.
But
anyway, on to some positive stuff. We're talking the new guys and what they can do to have a good season. So let's talk with your favorite new Clippers player, Nicholas Batum. What does a redemption season look like for Nick Batum? And you know what I mean? Like, for this Clippers team?
I think that it's just going to be improving the play of those around him. I don't know how featured his role will be, but in his time on the floor, you know, he's going to need to be able to be an extra little bit of playmaking. He's going to need to continue his excellent career 3-point shooting. And hopefully, you know, we can see him back at a, you know, a solid level of defense, which, you know, is a capability that we haven't really had on the second unit.
For sure. Yeah, him combining with Surge is going to be really big, just how they communicate and stuff like that. And with Patterson as well, because that 3-4-5 could be either really good or we really only have like one good defender on the court at once, right? So that's going to be a nice development to try and keep an eye on. And I think you're right. Like, he doesn't have to do anything crazy, right? Like, he doesn't have to come in and like average career highs in anything, I don't think at all. But just covering for Ty Lue or Lou Will and whoever else is going to be paired on that backcourt, I think that would be a great redemption season for him. But I think that goes to your point too. That makes everyone else around him better if he can kind of help cover for that whole situation going on.
Look, man, I would be beyond thrilled if on a night-to-night basis we could expect from Nick Batum a solid, I don't know. I would be over the moon if on a night-to-night basis he could lay down like 12-5-3.
Oof, that'd be great. 12, I mean, yeah, that would be redemption season Batum for sure. The team would be probably in pretty good shape then if he's doing that and having a decent net rating. Maybe
that's not even a reach. That's about where his career average numbers are.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would think maybe the assist could be a little bit higher depending on the personnel that he's playing with.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how those rotations shake out. The rebounding, I think that, you know, with the loss of Jamichael, he's going to be soaking up some more boards. Obviously, you do have Surge out there, though, too. So we'll see about that. And then, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to – I think his actual scoring potential is really going to boil down to how they're using him.
Yeah. There's other options on that bench that you're like, they're ahead of you for sure. So
yeah. And, I mean, he's a guy who's, you know, pretty confident cranking up 4+ threes a night, and you know, hitting him at a fairly efficient clip. I guess I just don't know if that's going to be enough to keep him engaged. Obviously, yeah. If you have Patterson out there too, kind of standing on the outside, and Luke being such a great outside shooter, you know, maybe they utilize him in some other ways that can allow him to be a little bit more creative. We'll see.
Yeah, speaking of Luke Kennard, one thing I think he needs to do is play well enough to be mentioned by anyone when depth is brought up.
I'm tired of this narrative.
Well, it's just so funny.
They haven't even hit the court with the guy yet.
I love it. But like all the new additions, like it's really funny. He's going to be great, I'm assuming. But one thing I think he should do is get on Pat's level of training and preparation. Patrick Patterson came back from a knee injury 3 years ago and hasn't been hurt since. The dude has a crazy good, like I've talked about a bunch on this podcast, but I think if Luke Kennard kind of gets in the similar vein or can like learn about that from Patterson, that will help out the knees a bunch.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't like, I know a lot of people are like speculating this as being a knee thing, including some great some great Detroit beat writers. But I like, look, man, I just think this is a situation of where the first practice was today. Yeah. So I think it's like a thing where not to like write off Luke Kennard at all, but like, I don't think that a lot of people were watching a ton of Detroit Piston games because Luke Kennard was lighting it up. And
yeah,
that's no disrespect to him or the Pistons, but I mean, it is what it is. Like, he's a less known commodity in this league than a Serge Ibaka all-star, Nick Batum all-star.
Yeah. Horrible contract that people joked about too.
Yes. Yeah. So some other names kind of come to mind. I've said it on this podcast before. You were real heated about it. Ty Lue knows Luke Kennard's name. Okay.
Oh, I know that. Absolutely. I'm excited for him to like, I feel like we're going to get a press release and be like, man, Luke's been killing it in practice. You know what I mean? Like one of those things, like how people talk about like Steve Blake and stuff like that way back in the day. And lastly, closing out, what does Surge have to do to kind of have like a fresh year to really kind of make his mark for the Clips?
Man, I just think he has to do more of the same of what he was able to accomplish last year. Mm-hmm. And I think even a bigger thing is we'll see how these new pieces fit together. But like, I think that he's going to be such a crucial part of defining sort of what that identity is in the locker room.
100%.
Sort of like keeping guys' mentality in the right spot.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I hate to put that on him as like a first year guy, but
yeah, hey, welcome to the team, buddy. Figure the locker room out.
You know, but we moved out, or not even moved out. We lost in free agency, you know, someone who was, I mean, kind of a vocal dissenter in the locker room, to be perfectly honest.
100%.
And I think that, you know, I think that that sets the stage to make the easier for Ibaka, you know, just by like not being a negative presence. Yeah. But to me, like for the, it to be a successful year, like he needs to be a part of building that chemistry and defining what that is.
Yeah, I think helping communicate what Kawhi can't is going to be a big thing too, because he knows Kawhi. You know, they're on a closer level than a lot of other guys are with Kawhi in that locker room. So I think that's going to be big too. And as far as on the court, like I want him to alter shots at the rim, but not go too hard about it. He's obviously not the block machine he used to be just due to his age and stuff like that. So like those numbers, like I don't want to see him like average a bunch of blocks or something. I'm just hoping he can still deter guys at the rim when he's in at the five.
He's an elite rim deterrent. He's an elite rim deterrent still in this league. I don't think that that's going to be an issue. I hope that we are using him in a way that just best benefits his skills. And yeah, man, I hope that we can get him involved in some creative things offensively too, man. Cause this guy's got a lot of interesting wrinkles to his game. And he gives the team a lot of versatility offensively, and then defensively, man, he just makes for some lineups that are absolute nightmares for opposing things. Like you do not want to go up against a front court of Zoo, Ibaka, and Morris. That is not a fun time for any team on any night.
It's gonna be a physical time down though. Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. Let us know what you think the news guys could do to have a good season. At Locked On Clips coming up, we're going to be talking some not hashtag back to the shadows behavior, as well as some new endeavors from Surge. All right.
So we're back with Shavings, which is where we wrap up all the loose ends around the NBA.
Oh yeah.
Should we start with a non-Clippers thing first?
Yeah, but first we got to give a shout out because the 2021 NBA season's almost here, and Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready to go with a special week of shows beginning December 14th with the Pacific Division. You can listen to us talk about what's going to happen this season. From Josh Lloyd, of course. There's going to be waiver wire talk for the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, as well as Rookies to Watch. Subscribe to Locked On NBA. We should start with this thing first, because this is going to be something we're going to see a lot of, which was the Trail Blazers had to close their facility due to 3 positive COVID tests. And this is an alert that I feel like we're going to see a bunch this season, right?
Yes. Yeah, this is going to be, yeah.
Like I saw it, I wasn't necessarily like freaked out, like because they're doing their due diligence stuff. I'm like, yeah, there's going to be some times when maybe we can't practice because of COVID stuff. Like it felt a little more real today because it was the first day of the Clippers practice, I think.
I mean, this is the reality of an open situation. You know, you have an unfortunate situation for the Rockets in which James Harden was not even able to practice with the team today. You know, due to some, questionable practices. I'll leave that up to you to decide. this is going to be an ongoing thing. And I think the facility thing, I guess, kind of illuminated to me, we've talked on this podcast before about obviously, you know, the availability for people in games, but man, with practice facilities closed, It kind of got me thinking today about, you know, how that's going to hurt, you know, coaches, especially in new systems like the Clippers, being able to implement new sets.
Get familiar.
Work on things defensively. And then I wonder how that even affects, you know, individual players not having the same amount of access to, you know, the support and rehabilitation staff. There's a lot of factors when you have to close a practice facility that, you know, these are professional athletes. Yes, they know how to train. Yes, they probably have access to, you know, a lot more things than the regular person, but they don't have the same level of amenities that they would be used to at a team facility.
There's a different level when you're working with the actual team. And what's hard too is like you can't have a backup facility unless that backup facility is 100% compliant with all the league stuff too. So like some teams might be able to get that going at some point, maybe. But right now, it's like, I mean, that's a big loss for the Trailblazers, for sure, to not have that time right now. Transitioning into some more Trailblazer talk, Clipper Talk, an account on Twitter, go check it out, at Clipper Talk, tagged Trailblazer Damian Lillard in a pic of that old comment from Instagram that Paul George left that said Dame time is running out. For some reason, they asked him if the burn still hurt. Damian Lillard quoted it and said it was never a bother, you know, never a big deal. We got to stay in these shadows. Why are we tagging opposing point guards right now? The media already hates us. Let's stay in the shadows.
Also, like, dude, come on. It's just like not relevant. Like we piled on Dame after a regular season win in a game that we probably should have lost. And like truly, like they missed a bunch of free throw. He missed how many free throw attempts at the end, and we ended up winning the game. And you know what? Like this was one of those things that got tired for me when it happened. It's certainly tired now. And, you know, clearly it did bother Dame at the time. It bothered him when we got eliminated. He you know, had to stick that knife back in. So, like, I'm all for shit talking as long as it's respectful, you know, and having a good time. I don't really need to rehash old stuff.
Exactly. Like, why bring up anything from last season for the Clippers? It just ended horribly.
We just got to focus on us, man. Like, yeah, let's, we can't even bring up stuff from last year. Like, just make it about us.
Yeah, 100%. On-court stuff, hopefully. And then closing it out, Serge Ibaka, we were treated to, you know, hey, Serge is on the team, so we're getting Serge news stories. He has a new clothing line coming out with Canadian label Nobis. It's a genderless capsule collection. Cold weather things like parkas, utility vests, hats, obviously scarves. Did you check out any of it?
Yeah, so all I could see on the site so far was just the parkas.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I don't know, you know, toned down colors, parkas, seems good.
It looks cool. I mean, like, it's a $900 parka.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
It's not something that I would ever buy. But, you know,
$900, that's insane.
If that's your thing, I mean, can you just get like a Montclair or something? Whatever. Anyways, you know what? There's a variety of designer parkas you could get out there if you're in the $1,000 price range. Certainly nothing against Serge or Nobis. But it wouldn't be my first choice.
Yeah, I didn't realize it cost $900. Man, that's awesome, I guess. I watched the video, which has some funny clips of Serge doing like in parka dancing, which is
really he voguing?
He's not voguing, but he's close. I bet there's B-roll of him voguing for sure. Anything else in the Shavens drawer?
No. Hopefully we get some more practice footage rolling in soon.
Oh yeah.
Don't forget to send those Twitter Tuesday questions in. Can't wait to chop it up with you all tomorrow. That's all I really got for today.
Yeah. And we're going to have Twitter Tuesday on tomorrow's episode, as well as hopefully that practice talk. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, all that good stuff. We got a review on iTunes, which was nice to see. We always thank everyone for giving these reviews. You can't do reviews on Spotify yet, right?
I don't know. I don't think so.
That seems odd. But yeah, we appreciate the review. Sorry, I'm just pulling it up right now. They said we got it, so I'll take that. Said these guys get it. Thank you to D Money LA for that review.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You get it. And we appreciate you for getting it.
Absolutely. Thank y'all so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I am William the Opinion Updike, and as always, we appreciate you.